Book of Hosea. Hosea. Book of Hosea. It is in the Old Testament. There is a book named Hosea. It's right after the book of Daniel. Hosea. This morning in Sunday school, we've been going through one book of the Bible at a time, doing a survey. And we take 1 week, one book. We started all the way back in Genesis. And this morning's book was about Hosea. And we began some things and some thoughts in Sunday school class. And we're going to continue on some thoughts in there. The message, you'll understand where we're going with the message. We'll let you know some of the things we talked about. But if you want to get the whole gist of the message, I encourage you to go online afterwards and listen to this morning's Sunday school lesson as we looked at the book of Hosea. Now, this is still going along with our theme that we've been talking about for the last, I think, probably about 4 or 5 weeks now about hope. This morning's title, this morning's message is The Love of God Gives Us Hope. The love of God gives us hope. The Bible says in Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. The Bible saying there, the Lord says, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. And there's many other promises that you find in the Bible where it talks about God's love and how God's love is demonstrated to mankind, also to different groups of people in the nation of Israel, and to also believers. But the promise I want to take and consider this morning is this idea that God loves us, and he loves us with an everlasting love. We've been considering hope, talking about how the world looks at hope, and how the world looks at hope as something that they are wishing could happen, or they are considering it happening, and looking forward to something happening. But the hope that the Bible refers to is a solid, grounded faith found in God and the principles and the promises of God. It's a belief. It's not just a wishing, but it's a belief. And when we come to this promise that God loves us with an everlasting love, it is something that we can bank on, it's something that we can believe in, and it's something that we can trust in. And this morning, the story we have about the book of Hosea and the story of this prophet Hosea teaches us a wonderful truth about God's love. Before we get started, let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help us this morning. Lord, give me the words that you once said. Lord, impact hearts the way you want to impact them. Lord, if there's someone here that's lost today, I pray they see through the love of God that God does love them and wants to redeem them. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Hosea is a really, really powerful message. I mean, I know that some people look at the book of Hosea and says, where's that at? Is there even a book in the Bible that's Hosea? Some people don't know the message, and sometimes when people read through it, they'll miss the point of the message and the powerful message that's behind it. God teaches us about his love through the prophecy of Hosea. The story behind the prophecy is actually a tragedy of a broken home. The personal experience of Hosea is the background of his entire message. He walks out of a broken home and speaks to a nation about how the nation is breaking God's heart. He knew exactly how God felt because in his own home, his heart was breaking. Here, we'll start off in Hosea chapter number 1 and verse number 2. The Bible says, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. Now, I have to give you a little background information because that verse might be like, what in the world does that mean? Well, God tells Hosea to go marry a woman. Her name is Gomer. Now, you might laugh. I know we chuckled a little bit in Sunday school classes. This is a woman. This is a woman's name. I know everybody, when they hear Gomer, they think of Gomer Pyle. It's not referenced to Gomer Pyle. Back maybe today it's the name of a man, but back in Bible times, Gomer was a lady's name. And here's how the story goes. I believe, this is how, now you read different commentators, different things, they might tell you that Gomer became an adulterous woman afterwards, became a harlot afterwards, but according to what the Bible says here, God says, the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. I think what it's referring to is that Gomer, before they were even ever married, had committed adultery and the act of fornication, and perform harlotry, and means selling herself, her body. You say, why in the world would God tell Hosea to go marry this woman? Well, the way I look at it and the way I think I see the story because of the way that God works with the nation of Israel. I think Hosea and Gomer were in love. They were planning on getting married. They were madly in love. And as they were madly in love, Gomer went out and did this, committed fornication or committed harlotry, went and sold herself. And God says to Hosea, I want you to still go and marry this woman, even though she has that reputation. Now remember, back in Bible times, things are a little bit different. Nowadays, people don't really respect one another, and they don't respect the marriage vows. And many times, if people have adultery or commit fornication, it's encouraged or it's broadcast on the news and on the internet. But back in Bible times, under law, Hosea could have taken Gomer before the judges and had her stoned. What do you mean? Stoned? Yes. If she committed fornication or adultery, they would kill her. That's how serious God takes this sin. But God wants to teach Hosea something. But more importantly, I think God wants to teach the nation of Israel something. And even more importantly to us, I think God wants to teach us something. And this powerful message that's found in this book, God tells him to go marry this woman who was a woman of harlotry and make this woman his wife. Look what it says at the end of verse number 2. It says, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. Now, here's what the picture is. The picture is, God says, I want you to go marry this woman, even though she's done this to you, because this is the exact same thing what the nation of Israel is doing to me. Israel was supposed to love God. Israel was supposed to love God with all their heart and all their mind and all their soul. Israel was supposed to remember what God had done for them and because that want to worship him and love him. But Israel had gone for the spot where they were supposed to love God and taken that spot and began to love other gods and love other things and committing what is called spiritual adultery. And in this story here, I think it reveals the greatest sin, the deepest nature of sin. And I know I talk about this in Sunday school, so those that were in Sunday school, you can just say amen because you agree. But to catch up the other ones, it's the idea here that the nation of Israel received God's love. God called them. God began with Abraham. They were in Egypt. God called them out of Egypt. If you read through the book, it talks about how God had brought this nation, how he loved them in the past with Egypt, how he loved them in the present, and how he was going to love them in the future. And they had received all these gifts from God's love. God chose them. God chose to make them his nation. To even teach you and help you understand that, it's sort of like I chose my wife. Me and my wife met at Pensacola Christian College. If you want to go find a wife, guys, Christian College is a great place. Girls, if you want to go find a good godly husband, Christian College is a great place for that. It's the idea that I chose my wife. She chose me. We decided, after much begging and after much pleading, she finally said yes, and she was willing to marry me. Can you believe? I still can't believe it. She was chosen, and we chose. And when we on October 7th, 1995, is that right? See, I got it right. October 7th, 1995. I say that often, so I don't forget it. We chose to give our love to one another. And what we did, we said we were making a commitment to one another that I would remain faithful to her. She would remain faithful to me. And what was happening in the life of Gomer, Hosea, was Gomer was taking the love that she had committed to Hosea and was going and giving that love to other people. Giving that thing that was belonged to her husband, she would go and she would commit adultery with, the Bible says, many lovers. Now, to make it even worse, Hosea and Gomer had a child. And then another child enters the house. And then a third child enters the house. And in the story, if you look at the names and the interpretation of the names, the first name, Jezreel, it was his child. But the second name, we're not even sure if that was his child. That means that she had a child by another man. And the third name, the way it's interpreted, this woman had the audacity to go out and have a child by another man and bring this child into her house, into their house. And then this woman left him to take care of these three children. Two of them probably aren't even his. And went out and prostituted herself to many people. What a sad, sad story. He imagined what Hosea is going through. Hosea's heart is probably broken. The love he had demonstrated toward this woman, he still loved this woman. You go in chapter number 2, and you can read in chapter number 2 how he even helps take care of the woman. While she's out there doing these things, he helps take care of her basic needs because God tells her to. And this man loves and continues to love this woman, would love for this woman to return unto him. He would be willing and ready to forgive. He'd be willing to do whatever was necessary. He pursued after her. He tried to get her to come home. He even sent his kids, his children to go out and try to get her to come back. But nothing worked. Nothing caused her to come back home. And a little bit later on in chapter number 2, it talks about how God says, stop supporting her. There's even a little phrase that's found in chapter number 2. It's a really interesting phrase. It uses the word, a door of hope in the Valley of Achor. And we don't have time to go into all of it, but just to give you an example, the Valley of Achor was where Achan had been stoned for stealing the things from Jericho. It's a bad place. It's a place of trouble. And God was saying to Gomer, he's saying to Hosea, you're going to have to let Gomer go and let her face her valley of trouble before she will ever return unto you and be the wife that you want her to be. And then in chapter number 3, God even asked for something that is even a little bit more. Gomer is now on the slave market. Gomer here is now, and she has gotten so low and gotten so wrong and done so much wrong, no one wants her anymore. And usually when slavery happened, we know a little bit about Bible slavery back in that time period. You become a slave by being conquered. You become a slave by also becoming indebted to a person. And she must have somehow spent everything she had and everything was gone. She was a slave. And in Hosea chapter number 3, God tells Hosea to go and buy Gomer back. See, most of us would have said, oh, Hosea needs to find a new woman. Hosea needs to take her and put her before the judges now and get her stoned, get her out of the way so he can go find another woman. But see, there's a picture of God's love in here. There's a huge picture of God's love. God is using Hosea and the tragedy in Hosea's life to teach the nation of Israel, this is what you are doing to me. By going and worshiping other idols, by going and worshiping other gods, this is how you're treating me. And Hosea the prophet, the man of God, leaves his broken home and proclaims a message that Israel is committing spiritual adultery. Committing spiritual adultery by going and serving other gods. And they know exactly what's going on in his home. They know exactly what's going on in his life. And what a powerful message he has. But Hosea doesn't give up on Gomer. He continues pursuing after Gomer. And in chapter number 3, he redeems her back. Look what it says in Hosea chapter number 3. Hosea chapter number 3, it says, then said the Lord unto me, go, yet love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord to the children of Israel. He says, I want you to love her the way that I love the nation of Israel. Who looked to other gods and loved flagons of wine. And it says in verse number 2, so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley, and a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide with me for many days, and thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another. So be for another man, so will I also be for thee. Now here's the thought. He said, how does this deal with God's love? This is a story of God's love because this is the way God loves us. Just as much as the nation of Israel turns their back on God and goes serving other gods and takes the spot, the love that they should have toward God, the church today and many Christians have done the exact same thing. You say, Pastor, I don't go down, bow down to some idol, some little carven image. No, but it's the spot. Like we go back to the reference. There, when we made commitment and I chose my wife chose me, there was something that was supposed to be special, that was supposed to be for us and not for anybody else. And what Gomer was doing, she was taking that relationship, that spot that was supposed to be for her husband, and was giving it to whoever would pay her the highest price. And what was happening in the nation of Israel that day, God loved them. God called them out of the nation of Egypt. God gave them the land God gave him all these different things. God demonstrated his love. And the worst wicked thing a person can do is sin against love. Infidelity against love. That's what Gomer is doing. Hosea was demonstrating love over and over and over, and Gomer was sinning against that love. The nation of Israel. God was demonstrating his love to the nation of Israel over and over and over, and Israel was sinning against that love. And that is what happens when we as Christians take the love we are supposed to have for God, the admiration that we are supposed to have for God, that spot, what's that spot? The Lord of our life, our greatest love, and we begin to give that spot to other spot, other people and other things, we begin to have spiritual adultery also. Here's something I want you to think about. First of all, God redeems us because of his love. God redeems us because of his love. And I like to think about this, and this I like how this preacher wrote this, so bear with me as I read this. It's a little bit lengthy, but it puts Hosea at the slave market. And it shows the story of Hosea chapter number 3. It says, God asked Hosea to do an impossible. He asked him to go and buy Gomer back. He went to the slave market and he redeemed her. What does the word redemption mean? It means to recover from captivity by ransom. Gomer was sold to slavery. Try to imagine Hosea arriving at a slave market. We know quite about the ancient slave markets because so much has been written about slavery. In the ancient world, someone would become a slave by three different ways. First, they could become a slave by conquest. Secondly, a person could become a slave because they're born a slave. Thirdly, it's because they are indebted. Here is this woman who has spent all. She has nothing. She was harloting her body out for the things of this world. And what beauty may have had been is now vanished. What possessions she may have had, they are all gone. Even while she was in sin, her husband provided certain necessities for her. He later went to retrieve those things at God's bidding. Remember, even while we are sinning, we are still enjoying God's air and health and strength and freedom that God gives us. We are still enjoying so many of God's blessings while we are running so far away from him. When Hosea found Gomer, he found her at a slave market. This heartbroken husband purchased his own wife out of slavery. And it says in Hosea 3:2, so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for a homer of barley and a half homer of barley. Hosea watched his wife go to the stand, auctioned off as a slave. We are told that when slaves were sold, all their clothing was taken off. I want to deal with this discreetly as possible, but there is nothing before us but this visual image of this naked flesh standing with no possession. We look upon what sin has wrought. The bidding started. This was not an ordinary woman standing there. This was a woman who had borne three children and was the wife of Hosea. Oh, dear friend, the Lord would have us see that this is not an ordinary person. This is his cherished Israel that he loves with an everlasting love. They have forsaken their God and have gone after other lovers. Sin has taken them farther into the depths of horror than they ever imagined. The bidding does not move quickly or go very high because there is not much left of this sinful woman. As those gazing on look at her, most find her least or little bit interesting. Yet there is someone who loves her. Someone who loves her deeply, more than words can describe. A cry comes from the crowd, says 12. Someone says 13 pieces of silver, 14 pieces of silver. Every time someone bids, someone else's bids higher. There is a man in the crowd who is determined to pay whatever it costs to get her. We are told the 15 pieces of silver is only half of what a slave would be worth. Evidently, she was gone so far that no one was willing to pay her the normal amount. She was only worth half of what the normal slave would be. So for Gomer, on the auction block, stripped of everything, Hosea bid 15 pieces of silver, a homer of barley, and a half homer of barley. He bought her. He redeemed her from slavery. God applies all of this to the nation of Israel. Look what it says in verse number 4. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice and without an image and without an ephod and without a teraphim. And you say that afterward, in verse number 5, that word afterward, it's nice that there is an afterward. Because in verse number 4, Israel has been stripped of everything. Israel was sent into captivity. But there is a day coming. It says in verse number 5, afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God. The Bible says that there was coming a day that they would return. The author keeps on saying, he says, your life has been wrecked and ruined. You have been sold as a slave on an auction block for half the price of a slave because you have stooped so low and gone so far. To everyone else, you are worthless. But Hosea says to her, I have redeemed you. I want to bring you quietly with me. He is speaking. He is speaking to his wife as God is speaking to the restoration of Israel and what is going to happen to them afterward. We must understand that there is always an afterward with God. Now, to put the picture there. You know, this man buys this woman back. And our fleshly side, you know what? Good for him. She can't leave anymore. Now he can make her her maid. Now he can use her and do whatever he wants. He can make her work out in the fields. She no longer deserves to be his wife. No longer. She is nothing but a slave or a master. But that's not the way God looks at us. That is not the way God wants Hosea to treat her. Look what it says here in verse number 3. Verse number 3, and I said to her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another. And so will I also be for thee. He's saying, I am still for you and you only. That's what I want from you. And you continue on and you look and understand. It says in verse number 4, for the children of Israel abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice and without an image and without an ephod and without a teraphim. Afterward, the children of Israel return and seek the Lord God and David and the king, and they shall fear the Lord and his goodness. If you look in Hosea chapter 2 and verse number 16, look at the offer. Look at the offer that is made. Verse number 16, it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishai, and thou shalt call me no more Baali. Now, you say, what does that mean? Well, the word Ishai refers to husband. The word Baali refers to master. What God is saying to Hosea is, I want you to go and I want you to purchase her back. And what I want you to tell her is the same thing I want you to tell the nation of Israel. I don't want you to look at me as your master. I want you to look at me as your husband. And what he tells this woman after he buys her, he says, look, no one else wanted you. You've gone so far, you stooped so low. No one else even wanted to pay the right price for you. But I'm bringing you back. And I want you to come back and I want you to be restored to the relationship that you were at before. And I want you to not look at me as your master because I bought you as a slave. I want you to look at me as your husband. I don't know about you, but to me, that is awesome when you consider God's love for us. That's what God does when he redeems us. When God redeemed us, he bought us with his blood. All men are in captivity of sin. All men are under another master. The Bible says that you are of your father, the devil, and only Jesus Christ can redeem us. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We can only be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid a lot more than 15 pieces of silver for us, but what he did, he bought us back from the bondage of sin. He bought us back from our master, the devil. He brought us back from being enemies of God. He loved us, and he has put us up to a place where he's not saying, don't just look at me as Lord and master. He says, look at me as your father. You're the bride of Christ. He puts us in a position, and that's what the picture is here. God is telling Hosea, I want you to go back and buy this woman. No one else wants her. No one else wants anything to do with her. But I want you to go and I want you to take her. I want you to bring her back into your house. I want you to put her right back where she was before. And I want you to be faithful to her and tell her, look, I don't want you to look at me as your master. I want you to look at me as your husband. He redeemed her. He bought her back from that spot. Not only does God redeem us because of his love, God forgives us because of his love. This story is all about God's love for us and how God forgives us. Can you imagine how much Hosea would have loved for Gomer to come back on her own? If Hosea was willing to go out and take care of her necessities so she could live, if Hosea was willing to go do all these things for Gomer, even while she was out prostituting her own body, he'd say, nobody does that. That is what God does for you. When we have that special place for God, that's what God wants us to love him. God wants us to serve him. God wants us to treat him right. And he's saying, this is what he does for us. That's the picture. That's what God was doing for Israel. That is what God does for us when we go out and worship other things. And continue thinking about it. How much farther could you imagine that Hosea would have been desiring for Gomer to come home on her own? He helped provide for her when she was being a harlot. He sent children. He wanted her to come back. He pursued after her. And because God loves us so much, he puts in place a way we can have fellowship with him. You know, you say, Pastor, you're losing me here a little bit. I don't want you guys to miss this. Hosea loved Gomer. He redeemed her back, even though she treated him so wrong. God was saying to Hosea, this is what the nation of Israel is doing to me. They are going a-whoring after other gods. They are committing spiritual adultery. Just like what Gomer is doing to you, Israel is doing to me. And I want you to send them this message that I want them to come back. I want them to repent. I want them to make things right. And how do we apply it today? This is what so many people are doing to God today. God has done so much for us. If you're here today and you're saved and on your way to heaven, he has deserving of your love. He's deserving of your worship. He's deserving of your praise. He's deserving of being king and Lord and ruler of your life. He's deserving of the number one spot in your heart. And what many of us have done is we have gone and we've given that number one spot to this world. We've gone and given that number one spot to a person. We've gone and given that number one spot to a sport, to the money, to lust, to whatever it is. We've gone a-whoring after things. God deserves that spot of love. And we've gone and give it to someone else. But God, one of the reasons why we can have hope in God is because he loves us, he also forgives us. And how much, imagine if Hosea was willing to go through all these different things to try to reach Gomer, and it came to the point that Gomer says, I'm not going home, I'm leaving, I'm gone. And she came so much and so low that they put her up on the slave market and put her up there in front of everybody else with nothing for herself, nothing covering herself. And Hosea says, I still want her. How much more do we need a picture of what we do to God sometimes? For all of God's children, for all those that the Lord seeks, he knows that there is something in the future. He knows that we know we can find forgiveness. Even though God knew we would not love him like we ought to love him. Even though we serve the Lord, we don't serve the Lord we ought like we should. Even though God knew all these things, God still loves us. The devil will try to tell you lies and say, you've sinned, you're ruined, you're wrecked, it's all over. God will never use you. God has nothing to do with you. But that's just not true. Like you see in verse number 5, afterwards, that God wants you to come to him and seek forgiveness. No matter how far you've gone, no matter how much you've done wrong, no matter where you're at in your spiritual life today, no matter how many times you've said no to God, how many times you've taken and given yourself over to the things of this world, God wants you to return. You picture the idea of what's going on with Hosea and Gomer. Hosea waited probably every day, probably prayed to God that Gomer would come home every single day. He went and did things to help her know that he was still pursuing after her, that he wanted her to come home. And the same thing that God does with us. He sends prophets or preachers. He gives us his word and he says, I want you to come back. I want you to come back. I want you to come back to me. I love you. I love you. And Gomer kept on saying no to Hosea. Are you saying no to God today? God has made it in his word. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He has put that there because he wants to forgive you. This morning, I don't know about you, but there's been too many times in my life where I've said no to God. There's been too many times in my life where I put other things before God and I've gone and done things that I knew that God would not be pleased with and I knew that God would not be happy with. And it reminds me of how many times I've said no to God. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to be like Gomer. I don't want to be like the nation of Israel. I think one of the beautiful stories in the Bible is the prodigal son. And the prodigal son teaches us this. Prodigal son, you know, he went out and what did he do? He left his brother and his father for selfish reasons. His father demonstrated love. He sinned greatly against that love because he said, I don't think you can take care of me the way I want to be taken care of. He was disrespectful for him when he left his home. If you go back and study Jewish history, it was a slap in the father's face and in the whole community. It was like the son was being rejected and selfish when he left saying he did not trust his father to take care of him. He left to go into the far country, righteous living. And when it wasn't until he got to the pigsty, he came to himself and he says, you know what? My father's servants have enough to eat, but I don't. And that's not the part of the story I want you to see. Part of the story I want you to see is that when he came to himself, he got up and he came home. But as he's trying to ask God, ask his father to forgive him, what's his father doing? He's kissing him. He's hugging him. He's excited. He's coming home. He has already forgiven him. And that's what I want you to understand is that because God loves us, he forgives us. And this morning, God's love makes him want to redeem us. God's love makes him want to forgive us. And even though Gomer had gone so far and done so wrong, Hosea is a beautiful picture of how much God loves those that are away from him. The devil tries to get you and says, God doesn't love you anymore. God doesn't care for you anymore. God could care less about you. You're sin. You're wrong. You're done. Stick a fork in you. You're done. But God says, I love you. I want you to come back. I want you to come back. You can imagine what the devil probably told Gomer. Ah, you've been with too many men. Hosea wouldn't want you back, even though Hosea was pursuing after her. He probably even told Gomer when Hosea was bidding on her, oh, he's going to take you now, and you get what you got. You get what you deserve now. The prodigal son didn't get what he deserved. He was restored back to that relationship with his father. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but the love of God is something that is amazing. It is something that gives you hope because God first wants to redeem you. He does that through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, but he does it because he loves you. But secondly, he wants to forgive you. If you're here this morning and you're saved, but you've been away from God, it's not a joke. God wants you to come back. If you've been out a whoring, as the Bible says it, whoredoms, playing the harlot with other gods, say, I'm not bowing. No, I'm talking about putting other things before God. God saying, I want you to return unto me. Third thing I want you to see about the love of God. Not only does, because of the love of God, he wants to redeem us. Because of the love of God, he wants to forgive us. Thirdly, God's love should affect us. God's love should affect us. We don't know the end of the story of Gomer. We know that Gomer came back into the house. Hosea's desire was for her to be his wife again and for him to be her husband again, to raise his family right. We don't know, but because Israel someday gets right with God, and we saw that in Sunday school class, and we saw that Ephraim does at some point in time at the end, it's after the second coming of Christ, when Jesus is setting up his millennial kingdom, Israel finally comes to his senses and says, what have I to do with more idols? That they want to serve God and God alone. And I like to think in the story, it was a good story at the end. I like to think that Gomer and Hosea, because of the love that Hosea showed to Gomer, Gomer finally got it. Gomer stayed with Hosea. They had a wonderful marriage. They had a wonderful life together. I think she remained faithful. I think the love of Hosea affected Gomer to the point that if he was willing to redeem her and buy her back and put her back to the original position, that she was his wife and stayed faithful for the rest of the time. Because that's what Israel was going to do someday. We don't know the story, but you do know how your story is going to finish. You do know how you're going to let the love of God affect you and affect your life. You do know that God does want to redeem you. If you're not saved here today, there is judgment coming, and there is a horrible place called hell, and Jesus Christ came to this cross to die for your sins, and he was buried, and he rose again to redeem your soul back from the captivity of sin. He wants to save you today. But if you're here and you've been redeemed and you're living away from God, he wants to forgive you. We don't know how the story of Gomer worked out. We don't know if Gomer was faithful. We don't know if Gomer went back out to idolatry. We don't know if Gomer went back out to harlotry. But we do know how your story is going to end. How does the love of God affect you? The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. And I think the most heinous sin that's in the whole world is when someone demonstrates love to you and you give infidelity to them. When someone loves you, you take that love that they deserve back and you give it to someone else. How many homes do you know that have been broken? Broken because of adultery. Infidelity. How many families ripped apart and torn apart Because of unfaithfulness. And that is what the believer today must look at this side and ask, and look at them side and say, am I being faithful to God? Am I truly letting the love of God affect me? The deepest and darkest nature of sin, when someone takes advantage of the love that someone else expresses. And what God has done in our lives has done nothing but express love towards us. How are you dealing and accepting the love that God's given you? We love him because he first loved us. The Bible says we're supposed to love him with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul. We're supposed to be making him Lord and ruler of our lives. But too many of us are like the Gomers of this world. We've gone a-whoring after other gods, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We've left that spot that was supposed to be set aside for God, and we've gone and given it to someone else. And God's saying, I want you to come back. He's always saying, I want you to come back. I want you to come back. This morning, you think about that story about Gomer, and you're, I don't know about you, but it kind of turns my stomach a little bit. I don't really know if I could be like Hosea. I guess God could make me able to do anything, and that's why I think this man was a man who loved God, and he was following after God, but fleshly-wise, this man couldn't have, could he? Well, God loves that way. And I guess as we get closer to God, we can become more like his son. And we can love the way that he loves us. In Revelation chapter number 2, the Bible says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which they say are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. It's saying about the church of Ephesus, I believe, you got all these wonderful character traits. And how thou hast borne and hast patience, and for my sake have labored and hast not fainted. It was an awesome church to look at. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. What Jesus was saying, he says to this church, on the outside you look great. On the outside you got it all figured out. Looking at you, man, everybody else would want to be like you. But on the inside there's a problem. You've left your first love. Christian, today in your life, have you gone playing the harlot, spiritual adultery with that spot that God deserves? And I'm not talking about a husband and wife, the adultery there, but that is a picture that you can say how much devastation it brings, how heartbroken Hosea was. God was telling Hosea, as much as your heart breaks, my heart is breaking because of what Israel's doing to me. And that's what he wants you to show. He wants you to put yourself where Hosea was. He wants you to think, what if that would have happened to me? How would I respond? And that's how God's heart is breaking today, because so many people have taken the love he has shown to them and they are sinning against that love. And he is saying, please return. Please return. I know you've done this to me. I know you've played the harlot. I know you've had many lovers. I know you've done so much, so much. I shouldn't want you back, but I want you back. I don't know about you, but that breaks my heart to think that I could ever do that to a God that loved me. And it breaks my heart to say, I don't want to be like Gomer. I don't want to be like Israel. I want to love God the way he deserves to be loved. I want to give God that spot in my heart that he deserves. I don't want to keep on playing around. I want to keep on giving my heart, my affections here, my affections there, my affections there. Gomer makes me sick, what she did. But that's the illustration God gives towards the nation of Israel and what the nation of Israel did to his heart. And that's the illustration God gives us today. That's the reason why it's written in the book. If he didn't want us to see it, if he didn't want us to understand it, he wants us to understand that's the way God feels about us today when we take the spot that God deserves and give it to someone else. I would never do that to my wife. I would never do that to my husband, you may say. But why do we do it to our God? This morning, God loves you. Because God loves you, we have hope. We can have confidence. It's an everlasting love. If you see in this book, Hosea did not give up. It talks about until he had her back in his house and restored back, it was good. It was done. And you see in the love of God in Hebrews in Hosea chapter number 14, Israel has finally got it right after it was all said and done. Judgment had to come. Assyria came and destroyed them. All that stuff. But the day came that God's love was still waiting for the day Israel returned. Hundreds of years later, thousands of years later, God's love was still waiting for Israel to return. Praise the Lord. It's an everlasting love that he offers us. The love he's offering you today. Questions are, first of all, are you redeemed? Have you been saved? Are you on your way to heaven? If not, you have not experienced God's love. And let me encourage you in a minute. We're going to have an invitation time. Come forward. We have somebody take the Bible and show you how you can be saved on your way to heaven. Praise the Lord, because he loves us that much. He wants to redeem you. He sent his son down the cross to die for you. Secondly, if you are redeemed and you are on your way to heaven, man, how much God loves us. How are you reacting to the love that God's showing to you? I believe one of the deepest, darkest natures of sin is when someone shows you love and you give them infidelity. You take that love and abuse it and show it to somebody else. Gomer makes us sick, but Gomer is a picture of the nation of Israel. More importantly, Gomer is a picture of a Christian that walks away from God. God wants to forgive you. Just like the prodigal son, oh, God doesn't want me back. God can't love me anymore. God can't feel the same way. God really, really couldn't do that. He shows us in his word here in this story and in the story of prodigal son, he is waiting. He's, as the father was looking for the son to return, God is looking for you to ask for forgiveness. God is looking for you to get right. God desires for you to get right. He wants to restore you back. He's not going to make you feel like a slave. He wants to put you back. He said, bring the fatted calf. My son is home. He wants to bring you back to that relationship. What more do we need to do than see the love of God and return to him today? Are you going to let God's love affect you? Some of us can hear this message and say, why in the world is Pastor talking about the book of Hosea? Why in the world is Pastor talking about spiritual adultery? Why in the world is Pastor talking about a whoring and being a harlot and trying to make that for us today? You missed the whole point then. God loves you, and the love of God should affect you to where you do not want to hurt or offend the love of God showing you. God deserves a special spot in your heart. Where is God in your life? Is he number one? That's what he deserves. If not, let the love of God affect you today. Let's go ahead and pray.